To back up one chapter to the closing verse of the 13th chapter. I tell you what, it's real hard for me to preach what I want to preach tonight because on the other side I want to preach something else. I'm going to get you in that tank so bad I don't know what to do now. You. If I preach what I want to preach, I'd say, boy, read again. Everywhere it says Holy Ghost, it says baptism in Jesus' name. See? So I just throwed that in. I got your last tag. All right. Hallelujah. Now abideth faith. That's not all. Hope and charity. What's the greatest? Faith, hope, or charity? Charity. What is charity? Love, God, what else? God's love. Hallelujah. I think there's a scripture that tells us it's a bond of perfectness, too.
Thank God.
I believe I could, somebody's always going to say, are you Pentecostal people perfect? No, not a one of us are. But charity is.
Yes, sir.
Charity is. That's the reason works are done sometimes in such a marvelous way. When God's love takes over our ways. When God's spirit takes over our spirit.
Right.
And when His holiness takes over our holiness, because we don't have any when you come right down to it. We don't really have any holiness. Man is not a holy being. Someone told me they went to a camp meeting in Texas and saw all kinds of holiness. I said, you didn't see holiness. You don't see holiness. I don't mean there isn't any, but long hair is not holiness. Though I believe in it
right.
On certain sections.
Yeah.
And long dresses and long sleeves and all that and what can I say about the men? Good smile even. I'd like to see more men wear good Holy Ghost smiles.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, is there?
Right.
Of course, you can wear a few other things, too, but I'd like to see you, above all things, wear a good smile. Already I said that, some of you are thinking it, so I might as well come out with it, see? Everybody say, praise the Lord. Did you know some people understand just to say that there isn't anything left but faith, and as far as they're concerned, that faith is so kin to hope that there would be no difference, but... faith and hope is two different things. You can just hope and hope and hope and hope, but when faith comes about, it becomes a reality. It matures. It becomes real, 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 real. Praise the Lord. I've hoped for many things, but thank God I've attained faith on a few things, and nobody had to tell me that certain things had taken place. But, you know, if you just stop to think... This is not, as you've heard me teach many times, now the 13th chapter, 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians deals with the gifts of the Spirit. And the 13th chapter does not stop the gifts of the Spirit. For the 14th chapter goes right on and says, speak earnestly, covet earnestly the best gifts. Still talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Mentioned speaking with tongues of men and angels. And 13th chapter, but if you do this and don't have charity, I told you here a while back, you don't prove to anybody you've got the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues. Somebody looked at that wrong a long time ago. Somebody said, well, I know I got the victory because I went out and prayed through and spoke with tongues. I can't find where that's your proof of victory. If you can't treat your neighbor right, and you can't live right and keep yourself unspotted from the world, that tongue you've got may not be of God.
All right. Amen.
Some people's tongue needs to be on the altar anyhow, if we could find a long enough altar. If you don't want to give me credit for that, give it to Brother Gamlin. He said it. All right. God bless you. All my good thoughts, I have to give somebody else credit for them. The gifts of God, such as miracles and faith and healings, Oh, they didn't start. They didn't even start, Brother Gary, in the 13th chapter or 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. They didn't begin there. This is just a scripture dealing with them. The gifts of the Spirit don't even start with the second chapter of Acts. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody said, well, everybody's got their own scripture. A fellow told me this now. This is mine. This is my revelation. This is my doctrine. This is my sermon. This is my thought. I'm quoting him, but I generated what he told me. He said, everybody has a scripture. Said the Baptists have John 3:16. No, I was a Methodist. I'll get it wrong. And the Baptists have Romans 10 and 9. Is that right? 10 and 9? I think that's right. And said Pentecostal has Acts 2:38. Well, anybody ought to have a revival of Acts in 2:38, shouldn't they? I mean, glory, hallelujah. But listen, that's not true. We believe God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, white men, black men, old men, young men, young women, old women, fat women, little women, poor people, rich people, anybody, everybody that believes. Oh, hallelujah. Now, the next thing is, how do you believe and how much do you believe? Somebody, Brother Frank, should think, preached the other night, somebody said about how can we believe except somebody tells us? 8th chapter of Acts. How can we? Somebody's got to tell us. And then after you're told, you must put your belief into action. Somebody said, well, you folks are just water boys. All you're interested in is just getting someone baptized. We don't care anything about baptizing unbelievers. We want to baptize believers. I don't care anything about baptizing anyone who hasn't repented. That doesn't do any good. We want to baptize someone who has repented before God and realized that he is not holy. That he is not a Christian. Even a repentant sinner is not a Christian yet, but he's well on his way. Praise God. He's dying out to sin by faith in the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And everybody ought to say, praise the Lord. And buried with him in water baptism. To rise, to walk in newness of life. That's it. That's Christianity. That's holiness. Now, the gifts of the Spirit. You said, Rutledge, they didn't begin with Acts 2. No, they didn't. I read where God was a healer back in the earliest books of the Bible. And God was a spirit, essentially a spirit, powerfully a spirit. And when he allowed a prophet to administer healing to a child, to an individual, to a leper, to a person that was had a withered hand, or to the other plagues of the Old Testament period, when healing came, well, that was healing of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit is just the Holy Ghost. The only difference is we're living this side of the cross when Jesus was alive and then dead and then alive again. And the Holy Spirit coming through Christ Jesus, shed forth from him. That's the reason we call it Holy Ghost, because it's the Spirit of that one that was dead, but thank God he's not dead. He's alive. He reigns there, and he reigns here. Let's love him just a little while and worship. Now somebody said that all the gifts, a lot of people said this, but did you know something? That didn't make it so, because a lot of people said it. Did you know something? If you all said speaking in tongues is right, if the Word said it wasn't, you're wrong and the Word is right. If the Word said that.
Lord.
Of course, it didn't say that. Praise God. But somebody said that all the gifts are done away with except in faith, hope, and charity. Now, wait just a minute. Hold your horses. Throw on the brakes. Make the chariot stand still. Hold on a little while. They used to say, hold your tater, whatever that means. I hope that's not nothing bad. All right. But what I'm trying to show you something about faith. If faith remains, Now, what all has faith done and what all can faith do? You read the 11th chapter of Hebrews and see what faith has done. And it don't tell the whole story. It just tells some of the things. People worked by faith. They built boats by faith. They raised the dead by faith. They didn't they? Praise God, had their dead raised by faith. And many of them marched around Jericho by faith. Many marvelous things happened in the 11th chapter of Hebrews recorded of what people did by faith. And if faith hasn't changed, if there remaineth faith, go ahead and take your tongues if you want to. You can't do it. It's still there. But if you want to, take it away. As long as you've got faith, you've got miracles, you've got healing, you've got anything that God ever has been, He still is, because we understand that by faith, God created and framed the world. And faith still belongs to the people of God. Oh, glory. But let me quickly tell you that the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians doesn't do away with anything.
No.
It simply puts it in its proper place. It's not... Now, a lot of our own people don't understand this chapter. Most of you have heard me explain it before, but I must do it. We've got a lot of young converts, new people coming in. I must go through this. There's many. I heard one of our debaters, one of our most famous debaters right here in the convention center. I heard him say, when that which is perfect is come, he said that referred to the second coming of our Lord. Not so. Not doing away with the second coming of our Lord. And you know, people testify, I'm going to know Grandma when I get to heaven, because then I'll know even as I'm known. That's not what the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is talking about. Now, I don't care if you're knowing Grandma. That's all right with me. But that's not what this scripture is talking about. I'm getting more scripture conscious than I've ever been to just stick with what it's talking about. If you don't, if you start grabbing verses and running off and leaving us, you know, I heard Brother Greer, bless his heart, I like him. The reason I let him come see me, I fed him. I listened to him talk day and night. I like him, or I wouldn't listen to him. He's a talking machine. He's getting old whether he knows it or not. You can just fight old age all you want to. It shows up. If it don't show up, he can put his vinyl top on and cover that up. But he didn't stop his tongue. He started rattling, see? And he's worried about old age. That's how he just started coming. You know, you heard him. I'm not fighting him. I'm just telling you. He made the fun and I laughed. Okay? Amen. All right. But I heard him quote again from one of the little John. Where he said, I would that you'd prosper in health even as your soul does prosper. He said, God doesn't want... Listen, folks, that's not God talking to you saying God wants you to be healthy. He's a healer. We all know He's a healer. But this is John writing a letter to people, and it's included in the Scripture. John says, I would that you... John was just like me. He couldn't always do something about it. But if God wants you healed, He can heal you mighty fast. Now, why can't we accept the things as it is without trying to make it be something that it isn't, see? Okay. You say, well, what's it talking about when that which is perfect is come? It's talking about charity. The whole 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is talking about the essentiality, the blessing, the beauty, the effectiveness of charity. Now, there's never been a church trouble solved by tongues interpretation. Now, when I say this, don't nobody go off and say Rutledge don't believe in tongues interpretation. I do. I do. Because it's in the book. I believe in it. I don't believe in a lot of foolishness. And I've heard more of that than I've heard the real thing. Amen. I believe in tongues. It's a gift of the Spirit. I believe in a gift of interpretation of tongues. It's a gift of the Spirit. But any time it's used, it's for edification, it's for glory, it's for promotion, it's for praise, honor to God. Never as a ministry to correct anybody. It doesn't correct anybody. And if you think a healing of a crippled foot or leg or arm or eye will altogether bring about a revival, you've got another thing coming.
That's right.
That all has its part in the kingdom of God, but that in itself is not revival. Praise God. But I'll tell you what. When we can let all these things fall in their proper place, they all have a partial work. Tongues has a partial work. Amen. And the other miracles, healings, all of these do a partial work. Let me tell you once again, once I was on the district board in the organization here 7 years and on two different stretches. But once we sat up all night with two nights, I believe, with some disputing brothers. One brother was wanting license in the organization. Another brother was come protesting that one getting license because of some old grudge. Oh, God, where we need charity, it'll wipe away grudges and wipe away. It doesn't make any difference if there's been some trespassing one against the other. If we get charity moving just right, those things disappear. I mean it. They disappear. What one of you can remember that big fight you had with your son or your daughter 15 years ago, and you almost went to blows and said hard things one to another? Oh, that son or that daughter may remember it, and they may cry about it yet, but mom's already forgotten that a long time ago, because mom's heart is filled with love for that child that she brought into this world, and she didn't even hold it against you 1 minute after you did it. Not a real mother. That's mother's love. How much more does the love of God, the love of God, the real love of God, penetrate in our soul and solve our problems? Hallelujah, hallelujah. All the gifts, each one in particular, do a partial work. I started to tell you, these two brethren, we set up with them, and I was just a young man and rather smart, Alec-like. And I'm glad my name's not Alec. I hope yours is not. But anyway, you know, smart. I'd rather be named Alec Smart as Smart Alec. But anyway, I told those fellows and other board members, told them, you do this and you do that and bless God this and bless God that. And we can get so cruel with our blessed gods till we're almost cursing. There was a man lived in an area down south Arkansas. He was a preacher. And he was talking one day. He said, where I live, the deer just come into our garden, into our yard. And he said, we have deer anytime we want it. Another preacher sitting there said, my God, you break the law? He said, when are you going to quit start obeying the laws of the land? He said, I guess when you quit cussing. Not justifying either one, but he did have a point, didn't he? That happened right up here at the campground, I know. But listen, folks, listen. You can bless God this, and old Brother Abel, I'm going to get back to these other fellows, but old Brother Abel slammed the car door one night. Let me tell you the whole story where you'll understand it good. You might have missed it last time. Call me just 2 or 3 minutes before service, and it was a special service that night. Come and pick me up. I don't mind picking people up, but I wish that people wouldn't act like that I'm bound by the laws of the land to run a taxi cab, you know. Ask me, I'll do anything. I'll take you to Little Rock, I'll loan you my car, I'll loan you any money I got. Never do have with $3 or $4, but I'll loan it to you. But don't come at me like I got to. I don't even like for folks to say, you love me? Yeah. Well, you got to. I don't like that. Yeah, I got to, but let love make me do it, not you. I'd rather obey the compelling forces of love as for you to try to make me do anything. And I think you feel the same way. I don't even like for people to try to make me clap my hands. Inspire me? Yeah. Make me know. Had a song leader one time in another area. Didn't even favor Brother Bernard. She was a lady. And she said, all right, everybody stand up and everybody clap your hands. And she looked at my heart. Now, I told you to clap your hands. Boy. I thought, how am I going to get rid of her? And I prayed about it. You ever pray get rid of something? Paul rang on this. He said, Brother Rudge, I'm going to resign a song leader. Inside saying, thank God, thank God, thank God, you know. It wasn't that I disapproved so much, but how that minister feel, and maybe belong to the Catholic Church or something, never had stood in the Pentecost Church and clapped their hands like that. How'd they feel for her to get up there and say, "Now I told you clap your hands," and be in the fire sticks? They're not supposed to talk that way. They're supposed to say, you know, be nice, you know. And I said, "Well, that's fine, sister. Maybe that'd be good. We'll just not have a song leader for a while. Maybe it's a good idea." She said, "Oh, no. Now, wait. It's just that I hadn't been appointed since you was here. I like to do it, and I just hadn't been appointed." I said, "I think you've got a good idea, sister. Let's just rock along. That's good. Well, like I say now, if I was reappointed, well, I'm not going to appoint nobody now. Boy, I had a time getting out of that." So she quit the church anyhow. Well, where'd she get her job song leading? Well, that's all beside the point. But people need to sing because they're inspired to sing. There's enough people here with a victory that you can inspire other folks. I'll tell you what I've seen right here. I've seen people, you know, the people that's got the victory clapping and singing and patting and worshiping. And I hadn't been very long since your mama, when she hadn't been coming too many times. Don't you tell her I said this. But right back there, first she has done this. And I don't think she'd ever done that in church before. And after a while, her hand flew up, and she almost jerked it back down. Richard had to get it right back down. I've seen others pat their hands way down between their, you know. Well, you're inspiring to do that. Well, your worship. You can't make them, but you can inspire them. Serene, you need to let go and let God have his way. Hallelujah. Okay, I hadn't forgotten. These fellows, wasn't you going to work at 9? Okay. I'm going to take 4 more minutes. I'll take 4 and you may give me 5. They argued and they argued, and we talked to them. To no avail. The bitterness grew and grew and grew. I don't think tongues interpretation would have solved any of that. I really don't. I don't think healing would have. Did you know one of those men's boys was healed of club feet when he was a baby? I mean club feet that he couldn't even walk without just dragging himself. And he went to a meeting right down here in El Dorado where your dad was pastoring. And that child was healed instantly of club feet and feet straightened up. Now it looks to me like if you had that happen to your child, you could just be good and kind and sweet and wonderful all the days of your life.
Sure.
It seemed like Brenda being healed of polio. It seemed like if she, and I know she's grateful, but just seemed like the least little mistake in her life, she'd just cry and weep because God brought her from the jaws of an iron lung. Instantly. But somehow people forget what God's done for them. Some people do. So they were so bitter at one another until old Brother Crane got up. He was getting up in years then. Brother Crane's gone now. And he put one hand on one fellow and one on the other. And he said, "Brother, I haven't said anything. Would you permit me to speak?" And you could feel something that none of the rest of us had. You know what we're studying about tonight? Charity. Love. Feeling for humanity. Feelings for the problems. You know, the same way with our doctrine, folks, if we don't, you know, this brother knows I was kind of putting it all in there, but if I can't do it with love for his soul, if I can't do it with a feeling for anybody, if I'm just trying to debate him into this thing, I haven't won a soul. I'm tired of that arguing. I want to see the message reach people. We're in a hungry world, Sister Davidson. They're hungry for the genuine. There's so many hypocriticals. There's so many Jim Joneses. There's so many money crazy preachers out here that are just and churches and groups that are just out to get what they can get. But I want us to give out something. It's not so much what we can get. I want us to give. I want us to give the love of God.
Old brother Crane stood there between those two brothers like this. He said, "Carlos, I knew you when you were just a little boy. In fact, you used to sit on my knee. Been your home many a time." And he looked over here and he said, "Irving, likewise, I knew you. Now I've loved you boys all of my life. I've prayed for you many a time." Praise God. Your old daddy's prayed for you. Don't you know your daddy's just gone on?
they'd be very disturbed if they, your two daddies knew one another, preached together, loved the gospel together, loved the name of Jesus. Do you have anything so big against one another that you couldn't forget it all and love God and worship God and go forward? Don't you know this hatred's got you stifled? Don't you know it's got the brakes on in your own spirituality? I can hear him now. That's been 15 years ago, or longer than that, 20 years ago. Don't you know it? That hatred's got the brakes on? You can't progress carrying hatred. I'm telling you tonight, you can't progress carrying hatred. You can't. I worry about people when they have little differences, because it's not the momentary difference that's bad. It's what are you going to do with it after the fight's over? What are you going to do with it after the difference is over? I'll tell you what we need. We need a baptism of charity, a baptism of forgiveness, a baptism of long-suffering, a baptism of understanding, a baptism of getting along, a baptism of desire to evangelize this world. Let's stand together and love God. Would you love Him? Love Him. Come on, love God. Oh, my God, my God, my God. You know what? Tears begin to run down those boys' face. They grab one another around the neck. They begin to shout and rejoice and praise God and tell one another how much they love Him. Many go there hating one another. Don't want to have a license. Both of them pastoring UPC church now. Ain't that wonderful? Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Brother Crane, who let charity have it. Rule books won't do it. Bylaws won't do it. Resolutions won't do it. Fast songs won't do it. Slow songs won't do it. Tongues interpretation won't do it. Healings won't do it. Miracles won't do it. But charity will do it. The love of God will do it. And everyone has access to it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory. I baptized a little woman right there in that tank one time, and she had ear screws on. Now, I'm not talking about that gypsy. I might as well not baptize that one. This one had a sweet spirit. She prayed through right back there. She had a sweet spirit. She prayed through with her eyes shadow running all over her face, and some of you were praying with her right back there years ago now. Had big flowers on her ear. And that's an offensive thing among us. It's a lot worse to wear it here than it is to wear it here. For some reason, we picked this up, you know. Some of you men might get by with wearing one right here, but you better not never hang it here, see. We are a little peculiar sometimes, you know. I'm not encouraging you to do that either. But I am encouraging you that when someone comes in who has not been taught some of our things that we'll be talking about Sunday, to let charity first have preeminence in our lives. See the soul before you see the air screw. See the soul before you smell the Prince Albert. You know what I'm talking about. Before you judge someone over these things, see the soul and what you can do to help them. And you'd be surprised how much you can help somebody if you'll try. Okay. I said to her, I said, you know, you may not understand. You didn't hear me say this. I talked quietly to her. I said, you may not understand what I'm saying, but if you don't understand, just for me and because I, being the pastor, ask you to, would you take those things off your ears before I baptize you? Would that hurt your feelings if I ask you to do that for me? And then later on I'll explain what I'm talking about to you. And the sweetest smile come on her face. She said, why, no, Brother Rose, that don't mean anything. She pulled them off, laid them on the side of that, and I baptized her in the name of our Lord. You know what I could have done? And now, bless God. Here I go cussing again. Now, bless God. You think I'm going to baptize you? Them things on. You got another thing coming. In fact, I said it one time, almost. I said, someone talked about baptizing somebody with a ponytail, a man with a ponytail, pulled his pulled him up out of the bath. He exaggerated a little bit, I think. Said he pulled him up out of the water with a ponytail. I said, not me. I'll send him to Duke's. That's a good place to go, isn't it? Hey, he'll trim it up high. You, nobody comes back from Duke's with a ponytail. I mean, nobody. Nobody. Right? Okay, anyway, I said, not me. I won't do it. Not me. I won't baptize him. No. Well, I didn't do that, but you know that little girl I call the gypsy woman, no reflection on gypsies. Better watch them, though. But she was baptized that Sunday night. I announced baptized. Somebody else going to be baptized. I don't remember who it was now. She came to be baptized. And I asked some of the ladies, I don't remember which ones now, but someone didn't know what to do with the situation. She brought her clothes to be baptized in, and she had the tightest fitting pair of blue jeans I had ever seen on anybody, and she came out for me to baptize her, and I could see all the choir. It seemed like the whole senior choir was standing just as close as they could. Now what you going to do, Brother Pauls? Now what you going to do, Brother Rutledge? And all my bragging and all my gloating suddenly disappeared. Charity kind of took over. I'm not upholding that. I don't think that's very nice.
No.
Boy, you ought to hear me preach hard if Lisa Wilson comes in here wearing something. You never heard me preach hard. But there's a soul that second time she'd ever been in church. And Charity just baptized me that day. It just overtook me. I wasn't no coward.
No.
I'm not afraid to tell somebody the way.
No.
But there's something more important than that right then. And I saw a soul. And I think the Lord let the whole thing happen since it didn't mature to much of a blessing. I think the Lord let the whole thing happen to say, Rutledge, don't be too quick. Because after all, I died for a lost world. What kind of world? A lost world. Cursing world. Blackguarding world. Adulterous world. Fornicating world. Drunken world. Hating world. Wild world. So if he can die for a world like that, surely I can sing and preach and testify and live with charity, with love, with feeling. Come up front, let's pray, everybody. If you have a need, come with us. Let's call on God tonight.